a school night, and I won't keep you here much longer. Amen. We're going to go through this sermon quickly here tonight, but I hope that you can focus in on what the Word of God has to say. Mark chapter 8, let's start in verse number 22. Mark 8:22. I don't know if any of you have had the experience. I don't know if it's happening to me because I'm getting older or because I stare at computer screens all day, but sometimes you're laying at bed before at night or right before you go to bed, you're trying to read something on your smartphone and you can't quite make out the words. Does that happen to anyone else? Just me. Okay, thank you. I'm just the only one here. I'm getting old. My glasses is the wrong prescription or something. But my eyes towards the end of the day, especially if it's been a long day, start to get a little bit blurry. And even though I have my glasses on and I try to open my eyeballs as wide as I can, I just can't see it. And that's when you know it's just time. Put it down. Close your eyes. It's time to go to bed because things are getting too blurry to see. And here we have a miracle that Jesus does. And let's read it. Verse number 22, Mark 8:22. And he cometh, speaking of Jesus, to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees, walking. And that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, to me, this is an interesting miracle, and it always stands out. I know I love the miracles where Jesus gives life. That's no one else can do that. And then you see this where this one kind of stands out because, well, first off, it's how he chose to heal the man. What did he choose to do to give the man his sight? He spit, it says he spit on his eyes. Whew, that's an interesting one, amen? But if I couldn't see and someone guaranteed they could give me my sight, if they were able to spit in my eyes, I would hold them open for them. Go ahead. As long as I can see when this is all over, go for it. So I don't think the man was complaining about that because at the end of it, he could see. And I'm sure that was well worth it to him. But another thing that stands out is that Jesus stops halfway through to ask the man a question. And the man, he asked, you know, let's read it again here in verse number 23 at the very end. He asked him if he saw aught, and the man responds and he says, I see men as trees walking. That's another reason why it stands out, because it looks like Jesus failed. Like halfway through this miracle, Jesus didn't do what he was supposed to do. And of course, we know that Jesus wasn't lacking in power, that Jesus didn't fail. This wasn't a mistake on his part. That he has a purpose in this miracle. And when he stops halfway through to ask this man what he sees, I believe it's because he's trying to teach his disciples a lesson. And I believe he's trying to teach us as his disciples today the same lesson. Let's go back a little bit in the chapter to see why I say that. Verse number 13. And he left them and entering into the ship again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them one more than one loaf. So this is important detail because of what's about to happen. Right after Jesus feeds 4,000 people, because the disciples, I doubt they had food that day either. Because they only talk about this one person who has food, and none of them said, well, we have food you can use. So they're coming off a failure. How many of you have ever been asked, my wife will sometimes ask me to do a chore around the house. And, you know, I say, oh, yes, I can do that for you, honey. And then I forget, and she comes home, and, oh, I didn't do that. I'm so sorry at the end of the day. And then in my mind, I'm saying, I got to do double next time. We'll make it up. And then she asks, oh, sure, I can get that done. And then, oh, I forgot again. And I can imagine the disciples sitting here. They forgot. They didn't have any bread the time Jesus fed 5,000, which already happened. They didn't have any bread the time Jesus had to feed 4,000. And now, once again, they're on a journey, and they forgot to have bread, except for one loaf. And it's like on a road trip, you're looking down, and Melanie has one granola bar in her purse, and there's six of us in the car. I don't think everyone's going to get some food. So the disciples are traveling, and they're in the ship, and Jesus begins to speak to them. He says, well, this is on the other side, I'm sorry. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, when you think of leaven, you can also think of bread. Okay, you need leaven to make the bread. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And this reminds me of trying to see the worst in what somebody says. You know, you can respond in a way and people can take it two ways. And if they choose to take it the insulting way and you say, I didn't mean it that way, I meant it in the nicer way. But the disciples hear Jesus speaking, and because of their mind where they're at, thinking, we don't have any bread, they might have already been thinking about that, maybe whispering to each other, did you bring anything? I didn't bring anything. And then Jesus starts talking about leaven. So they immediately think he's talking about us because we didn't bring any bread. And they say that in the next verse, verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand? Have ye your eyes yet hardened? Having eyes, see your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, I can kind of picture them maybe with their heads down a little bit. Like when your kid knows they've done something wrong and you're asking, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? So when we read this, we know that Jesus is not talking about bread. He's not complaining about the bread. He's trying to warn them. And when he's preaching to them, his followers, the disciples, his believers, he's talking to them about two things, the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are famous for their religion, their sense of spirituality that they gained by their works, their actions, their strict standards. They're famous for their self-righteousness. They're famous for their pride. And then he speaks to them about the leaven of who? Herod. Herod, great ruler, great builder. He's famous for his success, his wealth, what he's done in Jerusalem, his power, his position, his accomplishments. And he's warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. But the disciples can only focus, as Jesus is trying to give a spiritual message, the disciples can only focus on the physical. And we see this time and time again in the New Testament. As he's trying to teach them spiritually to beware of false religion, beware of your pride, beware of your self-righteousness, beware of what the world has to offer, the success, the fame, the accomplishments you can meet in the world, they're stuck there thinking about, we forgot bread. He's mad at us because we didn't bring any food. And as Jesus is rebuking them, he uses several phrases about their heart, about their eyes, about their ear. But it says there in verse number 18, as the start of the verse, having eyes, see ye not? And then right after that, we go into this miracle, where Jesus chooses to perform a miracle unlike he's ever done, where he stops with the half of a healing. And I believe it's to teach his disciples the lesson about what he's talking about. And then we go into the story in verse number 22 that we already read. Verse number 24 says, and he looking up said, I see men as trees walking. This man, halfway through the miracle, could not see clearly. He saw things that were a little blurry. They could make out shapes, and he couldn't quite tell what they were. And I could picture trying to read on my phone. I know that's a word. What word it is, I can't tell you. But this man is seeing, and he's not seeing things quite clearly. His vision has been blurred. And he uses the example of trees. And, you know, this time of year, as we drive around town, I mean, the trees are just beautiful. It's something that we miss living in Mexico, seeing all the changes. How many people drive up to the Adirondacks? Everyone do that just to see the trees? I'm not saying have you done it this year, but have you ever done that? Yeah, a number of people. It's beautiful. People travel from all over the world to come see the trees this time of year, and in northern New York and as we go east. They come from all over the world because it's unlike something they've seen. And depending on who you are, you might look at a tree and think different things. This time of year, I look at an apple tree and I'm thinking, whew, apple cider, apple pie, apple crisp, apple bread, apple muffins, apple butter, anything to do with apples. Apples and peanut butter on a sandwich. I mean, good stuff. I think of the fruit. Brother Humby might look at a tree and think, I wonder what the grain looks like in that wood. I can make some neat stuff, depending on how the grain lies out. Brother Kopaczewski might be thinking, I wonder how long that'll burn. How easy is that wood to split? Brother Lauk, that might be a good spot for a deer stand up in that tree right there. Some of the kids might think that tree is great to climb. Other people might think, oh, I'd love to lay in the shade underneath that tree. Depending on who you are, you might look at the tree in a different way. Some might look at it and say, I have to rake so many leaves because of that stinking tree that's in my yard every year. I remember in the summer I had a job working for a man. Rick worked the same place, Mr. McCormick, right? That was his name. And his backyard was these giant, I don't know if they're oak or maples, but it just covered, you couldn't see grass. And they were thick, and you had to, we went out 3-4 times a year, just hauling tarp after tarp, just full of these leaves out to the front. And it was good work. I mean, we got paid a little bit and had some fun, but man, every now when I pass by his house, you know what I still think of? Man, I don't want to rake leaves. I do not want to rake leaves. I wonder, as we think of different ways when we see trees, how do we think when we see men? I mean, we look at people all day long. And as we look at them, we judge them, we characterize them, some based on their skin color, some based on their age, some based on their weight, some based on their hair they have or the hair they don't have. We just driving down Brockport the other day, driving down the street with Pastor Russo, there's a lady walking up the sidewalk. Half her head is nice long hair, and the other half is just shaved. That's an interesting hairstyle. And then a little bit before, we saw another girl, had her hair shaved all here, had hair up here, and had like long sideburn hairs. So, that's another interesting hairstyle. Well, I look at her, and what do I see? The only thing I see is her hair. And I think she wants it that way, based on what she's doing with her hair. Some people might look at somebody and be cautioned. I wonder what they want from me. Why are you talking to me? What do you want? If someone walks up, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Ooh, whoa, slow down. What do you need? Talk to me. Some people are looking for opportunities when they see people. But what does God want us to see when we look at people? Because when we look at people just purely in the physical, we're looking at them like the disciples, like that man who couldn't quite see people. God wants us to look at them as he sees them. They're an eternal soul. They're someone who's been created in the image of God Almighty. They're a prisoner to their sin. They're someone who's deceived, who's destined to hell. That's how God wants us to see people. How does the devil want us to see people? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm already on this, the last half of my message. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Starting verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why can't these people see the gospel? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're not physically blinded, but the devil's able to blind their minds so they don't understand the gospel. They don't see the gospel. What is God trying to show them? The verse continues, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through. And then we come into it. It's talking about someone who's blinded, who's lost. It talks about what they need to be saved. They need the gospel. And then it's our part. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. If you're saved tonight, you've seen the light of the gospel. Amen? How many of you here say, I'm saved tonight, brother? I know. That means you've seen that light. Those blinders have been lifted, and you've been able to see clearly what it means to be saved. You've been able to understand, why did Jesus die on the cross? You've been able to understand that life isn't just about me and the things here on earth. There's an eternity. And when we look at other people, they need that same light. They need their blinders lifted so they can see the same thing that we've seen. And we need to preach to them Jesus Christ. As the verse goes on, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he goes on to talk about how they're troubled, how they're perplexed, how they're persecuted, how they're cast down. Can anyone give testimony, Pastor? There's been times, and maybe even now, I am perplexed. I am cast down. I'm troubled. But in spite of all that, it goes on to say in verse number 1. Let's go back to verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, what's the next three words? Read them with me. We faint not. Oh, there's going to be challenges and fights and problems and difficulties, but we've received a great gift from God. We've had the blinders lifted and we've been able to see clearly, and now we have a ministry from that. And we cannot afford to faint. Why? Not because of ourselves. I know I'm already saved. I can see clearly. But so many out there cannot. The devil has them in his grasp and they are blinded. But if we remember and we go back to the story that we initially started with, who was Jesus preaching that message to about the leaven? Was it to the lost multitudes? No, he's preaching to his disciples. His disciples are the ones that had the problem, that couldn't see clearly, that could only look at the physical and weren't thinking about the spiritual. And he used that miracle to teach his disciples the importance of seeing things clearly, that they had eyes, but they couldn't see. So Christians, as us, our eyes might have been open to the gospel, but the devil is trying with all his might to blind our eyes again. Not that we would lose our salvation, but we would lose sight of what we once saw. That the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is here to shine upon the whole world. And he wants to shine through us. Matthew talks about that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid in Matthew chapter 5. That's supposed to be, ye are the light of the world. We're supposed to be a light. And the devil wants to dim us down and make our vision blurry again, that we can't see the others that need Christ in their life. Remember, Christ talked to the disciples about the leaven of Herod. What the world has to offer you. Your job, your accomplishments, your standing, your position, your wealth. And I'd say today that would include the house we're looking for, the car we want to drive, the vacation we want to take. Be careful that that's not blinding your eyes. He talked about the leaven. What was the other group? Of the Pharisees. Self-righteousness. Ooh, that affects plenty of Christians. Because we know we have the truth of God's word, and it's easy to get lifted up in that knowledge. Beware of your pride. But the scripture, and real quickly, we'll talk about three different areas where the devil is seeking to blind us once again. Why? Because if we're blind, we can't lead the other blind to the Lord. Matthew teaches us once again, if the blind lead the blind, they both what? Fall into the ditch. That is the devil's goal for you. That he could blind your vision once again, and you'll be stumbling around just like everybody else. Oh, saved and on your way to heaven. But you're not going to steal anyone else from his grasp. Let's go real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. What is this big list of things? We could say that's Christian growth. That's God taking a sinful man, one who would be filled with hatred and bitterness and strife and envy, and he's trying to get those things out of you and put in you this giant list of new things. Amen? These are things that don't come natural. Faith? Whew, faith can be a challenge. Virtue? Knowledge? Godly knowledge? Temperance? Patience? Godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Those are not easy to have, especially charity. Amen? But what does it say? Let's read the next verse. For if these things be in you, and what? And abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to see you abound. The devil wants to see you. Look at the next verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot, what are the next words? see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Doesn't that just describe what we're reading in Corinthians? That man, he could see a little bit. He couldn't see far off. He didn't have any vision. He forgot, as we can forget, that we were purged from our old sins. And we're supposed to be living a new life. And it says in the next verse, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." We need to be careful about this. What was the word Jesus used when he was talking about the leaven? He started it with, "Beware." Beware. You see that posted on something, it gets your attention. We walked into a house today with a realtor, and it's one that somebody was living in. And he knocks at the door, he hollers in, "Hey, you know, Remax, anybody here? Can we come in?" And he starts walking in, and I look as he's stepping over. There's a doormat, and it says something like, "Beware," and it's a big pistol of a picture of a pistol. It said, "Nothing in here is worth losing your life over," something like that. And I said, "Hey, John, did you see that?" He goes, "Whoa, what is..." He thought a dog was coming at him or something. And, "Wow, beware, there's something happening. Get your attention." And Jesus, as he preached to his disciples, told them to beware, because this is easy to forget. You have to have diligence, or you'll forget. And you'll begin to be blinded. And you won't be able to see afar off. So what can steal our vision? What can make our vision blurry? A lack of Christian growth. The more time you spend in your sin and in your flesh, the easier it is to forget what God did for you. Because you have more in common with the world than you have with this new glorious salvation that you have, the light. Let's go on to the next one. Just over, next book, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 11. Well, let's read 10:2. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Abideth in the light. "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." And he's writing, as he says, to his little children, "Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." He's writing, save people here. What happened to him? Oh, a little hatred of the brethren snuck into their lives. Oh, Christian, be careful. Beware that there's no discontentment. There's no bitterness. There's no hatred between you and another brother and sister in the Lord. What'll that do? It'll blind you. Let's go on to Revelation chapter 3. Last one's here, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 16. As Christ is speaking to the church. Well, let's start in 15 to get the whole story here. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." What else can blind us spiritually that we can't? We lose sight of what our purpose is here. We lose sight of the fact that we're supposed to be giving the gospel and shining the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. Well, there's two things that happen here. One is your spiritual tepidness. I mean, you're just lukewarm. Just hanging out. Be careful that if you look back and I'm in the same spot I was 6 months ago. I'm the same spot I was 5 years ago. And you don't have, it goes back to the first point about having spiritual growth. Having fire under you. Having vision. Having a desire to serve the Lord. If you're just, the church has a need. Oh, you want to go on a mission trip? We need help in the nursery. What is that? Apathetic. That'll blind you. Because God's trying to put fire under you. God's trying to put things before your eyes, and our response is, I don't quite see that. I don't see it the way, I don't get what everyone's so excited about here. Why? Because you've been blinded. Things are blurry. And the second part, it goes on in verse number 17, talking about all the goods they have. And that goes back to the leaven of Herod, focusing on the things of this world. Man, they were rich. They had need of nothing. And God says, oh, no, you don't understand how bad you have it. Because their focus was on the things of the world. They lost sight. They lost their vision. How are you doing tonight? Are you clearly seeing men as souls that need salvation? Or is your vision blurry? If you want to see men the way God sees them, first you have to see God for who He is. Because that source of light, to be the city on the hill, has to come from God through Jesus Christ into our lives. And then we can show that light out to others. It doesn't come from your church. It doesn't come from your works. It doesn't come from how much you sacrifice. It comes directly from God. So if you want to be a light, you want to see clearly, you want to show that light to the others who are blinded, first you got to get a hold of who God is. Remember your salvation. Build a relationship with God so that light can shine through you to others. The devil wants us to lose sight of God and blur our vision, to focus on things of the world, to become apathetic, to not grow, to have hatred of the brethren in our lives and have division in the church. As the blind man was healed, verse 25 said, after that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up. And the end of the verse says, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. That's my prayer for my life tonight. That as I go out and I spend my days going here and there and everywhere, that I wouldn't lose sight of what my purpose is, to reflect Jesus Christ to a world who's been blinded. That I could see clearly, Lord, this world is not my home. The things of this world, I mean, they're a plus, I like them, but they're not what I need. I need you. That, Lord, even though we're all different, and I don't necessarily think the same way everyone else here in the church thinks, and they don't. There's no one in the world who thinks the way I think. My wife tells me that all the time. I say everyone else is weird. She says, no, you're the weird one. I say, nope, it's the rest of the world. I'm normal. But you know what? We need to live together in unity because we are one body in Jesus Christ. And I need passion. You need fire. You need vision. Or else years and years will go by. And how do we describe our Christian life? Another good service, another good week, another good year. What's God using you to do? Oh, well, I was at church this Sunday and it was good. What's God doing with you? What are you working towards? Life and work. And well, what's God doing in your life? Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the example that you taught your disciples, and I pray that we would take heed to it tonight, that we would beware of what this world is offering, beware of the tactics of the devil as he seeks to blind us again. Lord, that we would focus on you and be able to show what you show us, that salvation, first off, that you've given us, how you walk with us daily, how you want to free us from the bondage of this world, that we would be able to share that message with others. Help us, Lord, not to look at others and just see trees, just see people, just to see sizes and shapes and colors, but that we would see souls and fulfill our responsibility to share with those souls your salvation. Lord, as we leave here tonight and we go our separate ways, please be with us, guide us, keep us safe from harm. Lord, open our eyes as we travel, that we would tomorrow at work and as we go our ways, that we would have a new focus maybe on souls. Help us as we fast and pray to remember to dedicate extra time to you, to pray for the missions trip and the things coming up. Lord, we do ask once again to please, Lord, just be all over the people that are there. Lord, bless every aspect of the things they're working on. We're looking forward to hearing what you're going to do there. And I pray, Lord, as we have some away serving, that we'd be faithful to serve you here. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you this week, and look forward to seeing you all on Sunday. Many others.